We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. A few verses from 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. We'll begin to read in verse 10. And again, this is continuing on the subject of Christian baptism. And probably this will be the last message on baptism. But we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 to 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas or Peter, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas, and besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. And God will bless his inspired word. How important it is to measure everything by the Bible. How important it is to adhere to the Bible in every area of faith and of life. The Bible is the measuring stick. Our ideas, our methods, our traditions must be weighed in the balances of Scripture. And anything that is found to be wanting must be removed. And if we do not measure our ideas, methods, and traditions against Scripture, if we are negligent in that area, we will end up with a lot of things added to Christianity which are not a part of Christianity at all. And sooner or later, as the adding of human whims, ideas, methods and traditions goes on and on and on and multiplies because it never ends, eventually what will happen is, and what has happened is, churches end up with a Christianity that does not resemble biblical Christianity at all. They end up with a religion of their own making. Now, if you doubt that, you just look at the practice and the worship of the extreme charismatic churches. If you doubt that, you look at the practice and the worship of the market-driven church or the seeker-sensitive church in America, which will come here, of course. Or you look at the practice and the worship of the state church, generally speaking. And what you have there is a religion of man's own making. He has added so much tradition to it. How distant and how far removed it is from the New Testament church of Scripture. It's almost unrecognizable. It's hard to see any connection at all. So far has unbiblical man made up his own shambles of the Christian religion. It's a shack, it's a lean-to shack. So much has man covered. He has covered over the basic simplicity of biblical Christianity, because biblical Christianity is basic and simple. But proud, rebellious man, humans who profess to be Christians, they have smothered biblical Christianity with their icy, dead, stupid ideas and methods. Man has polluted the worship of God to suit his own debased nature, to suit the likes of the world. Man has restrained in many areas true preaching to suit his limited capacity to listen, or in fact even his interest. Man has lowered the standard to suit his own gutter height of spirituality. Man, instead of depending upon the God of the Bible to lift him up to the standard of biblical Christianity, well, instead he lowers the standard to suit himself, to suit his unfaithfulness, his worldly tastes, his debased nature. Instead of taking the plain teaching of God's word, he tries to explain it away. Oh, it's cultural. It doesn't apply to me. That was for the old covenant. Doesn't he? In order to get out of the implications of the plain teaching of the Bible. Man makes it all so complicated to excuse his blatant disobedience to God. Because that's what it is. To excuse his rebellion against God's revealed will in this book. We can think up the most complex arguments as to why we shouldn't do this, can't we? Oh, how needful and essential it is to try every practice, to hammer out every doctrine on the anvil of Scripture. Because that is the only way to keep sinful humans from polluting God's religion. How else could the biblical simplicity of "you must be born again" be turned into, "well, as long as you're born in a Christian country"? How else could it be turned into that? How else could the biblical simplicity of "repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ" be turned into "do your penance and pay your indulgences"? How else could the biblical simplicity of "repent and be baptized" be turned into, "well, bring your unrepentant baby along and I'll put some water on its head"? How else? How else could the biblical simplicity of the Church of God, called to be saints, sanctified, and calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, how else could the biblical simplicity of the Church being a body of believers be turned into, "oh, everybody in the parish"? How else could the biblical simplicity of "if you love me, keep my commandments" be turned into, "get confirmed and that will give you your wee assurance"? There's only one way that the biblical simplicity can be turned into those nonsense things, and the ways human beings have added their own whims, their own wee ideas, their own methods and their own traditions. And human beings have not measured their ideas, methods and traditions against the Bible. For all those things are found wanting if they're weighed in the scales. Oh, but you know, we've always done it that way. I would doubt that very much. As I was telling the young people the Friday before last. Because when you see a biblical teaching and you bring it up to people, hey, we shouldn't be doing this, but we've always done it that way. That'll be the answer you'll get. Well, then you've always been wrong. If you've always done it that way and it doesn't measure against the Bible, you've always been wrong. Show me from the Scripture, or else jettison the practice. That's it. And baptism is biblically simple. They that gladly received the word were baptized. Isn't it simple? Who was baptized? They that received the word. Hey, Mr. Ethiopian eunuch, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. What's the condition for baptism? If you believe. Isn't it simple? Isn't it so simple? The Bible makes it so simple. Who makes it complicated? Human beings. Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach, or make disciples through teaching of all nations, baptizing them. Baptizing who? The disciples that you've just made. Not everybody. You baptize disciples. It's so plain. It's so simple, the Bible teaching. There's no fog concerning the subject of baptism in the Bible. The fog is in the human mind. It's called stubbornness. To call it a good old Northern Ireland word, stubbornness. Now, we've looked at baptism for 3 weeks. This is the fourth. Baptism is a much neglected ordinance in some circles. There are two main views of baptism. We've looked at them. We asked the question, who were baptized in the Bible? And we found that there are believers only are baptized in the Bible. There is no reference to anyone but a believer being baptized in the whole of Scripture. And then last week we asked the question, how were they baptized? What was the mode? What was the practice? And the answer again is by immersion. All so simple. Now, in the Bible, why were they baptized? Why were they baptized according to Scripture? And the first point this morning is this, in answer to the question, why were they baptized? Number one, they were baptized because baptism is the sign of initiation into Christ and His church. They were baptized because baptism is the sign of initiation or welcome into Christ and His church. Baptism is a sign of being in Christ for the Christian. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's talking about water baptism there. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? baptized into Christ. It's a sign of being in Christ, united with Christ. It's an outward sign of that. Colossians 2:12. We are buried with him, with Christ, that is, in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith. So it's a sign of our unity, our affiliation with Christ in his death and resurrection, according to the New Testament. It's a sign of our being associated with Christ, baptism. So baptism is a sign of our unity with Jesus in his death and resurrection, and that's the first reason as to why Christians were baptized. And then the other one is, baptism is a sign of our initiation into a local church. The Bible uses the word church, ecclesia, in two ways. It is sometimes speaking of what is called the universal church, or all believers worldwide, past, present, and future. The universal church. The invisible church, it's sometimes called. And you become initiated into the worldwide church the day you're born again. However, then the word church or churches is used of the local church, because the worldwide invisible church is seen in localities and communities in a church like this one. The local church, the believers who gather together to worship God, the local church or the visible church. The church at Corinth, the church in Ephesus, the church at Philippi. They are local churches. They are manifestations of the worldwide church. Now, baptism is a sign of our initiation into the membership of a local church. The same as regeneration is initiation into the worldwide church, baptism is a sign of initiation into the local church, the membership. It's becoming a part of the local church or the local family. It's a sign of that. Let me read to you from Errol Hulse. We can see from the book of Acts that those who came to faith were not only baptized, but also joined the local church. This is evident on the day of Pentecost, when we are told that those baptized were added to the number of the church. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added that day. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. But elsewhere, the apostle speaks of our water baptism as a mark of unity with God's people, again within the context of the local church. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. That's Ephesians 4:3-6. So conversion is linked to baptism, and both are linked to our commitment to the membership of a local body of God's people. If you are to be baptized, usually you will be received into membership of that local church at the same time. The two go together. As your testimony of baptism speaks of God's saving work in your life, so the church will see that you are a member of the family to be welcomed as part of that particular body. 1 Corinthians, I read to you earlier, chapter 1. The context there were divisions and cliques in the church at Corinth. Some were saying, the preacher I was saved under was Paul. No, I was saved under Peter, or I was saved under Apollos, and they were dividing up over things like this. And the apostle says to them in 1 Corinthians 1:13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? But I want you to note the assumption in that verse, that they in the Corinthian church were baptized. They were members of the local church, after all. So therefore they were baptized. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? He's just assuming they were baptized because that was the practice. Because baptism is a sign of initiation into the membership of a local church added to their number. So, why were they baptized in the Bible? The first answer is, and the first point, because baptism is a sign of initiation into Christ and into his church. Secondly, why were they baptized in the Bible? Because baptism is a silent witness of God's changing power. Baptism is a silent witness of God's changing power. And for that, I want to read to you a few verses from Acts 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Seeing all this on the day of Pentecost, the people, seeing the people receiving God's word and being baptized, caused a fear and an awe to come upon the people of Jerusalem. In other words, the whole thing was a witness to the people of that city. Now, we all know that a baptism service attracts witnesses. And for a shy person, baptism is great. It's great. Many people, you see, are shy or quiet, and I used to be one of those people and still am, I suppose. And many people feel ungifted to witness and evangelize verbally. They wouldn't want to go and knock a door and try and talk to the person and evangelize them verbally. They would find that very difficult. Many people are like that. But you see, we can all get baptized. And it's a witness to God's saving power without us saying a word. So it doesn't matter if you're shy. You don't have to say anything. It's a visible witness. Baptism for the shy person is a witness to other people, I am a Christian. It's an action that even a quiet person can do, and you don't need to be gifted for it. Everyone can do it. To engage in theological conversation, you need to be gifted. To teach, you need some gift from God. But to be baptized, you don't. It's a witness that you don't need a gift for. So why were they baptized in the Bible? They were baptized because baptism is a sign of initiation into Christ and the local church. They were baptized because it's a witness. Baptism is a marvelous silent witness of God's changing power. And thirdly, they were baptized because they were obedient to God. Now that, I think, is the most important. The gospel call in the Bible is repent and be baptized. Acts 2:38. Mark 16, verse 16. God commands baptism. John 1:33. John the Baptist says, he that sent me to baptize, God sent me to baptize. It's God's will. Matthew 28, 19. Acts 8, verse 12. 16, 36. Acts 9, 18. Saul gets baptized. Acts 10, 47. That's just a few of the verses. I need not keep you by going over many, many verses. If you read the Bible, you know that there are many of them. It is plain at a casual reading of Scripture that God commands his people to be baptized. Therefore, that's why the early Christians were baptized. Because they were obedient. Isn't it simple? They knew that they should obey God. They knew that they should follow Jesus if they were to be called Christian, follower of Jesus. Now you may say, Paul, you're stating the obvious. Yes, I am. Because even the blatantly obvious can sometimes be missed. They were baptized because they were obedient. Now let me work it out. I'm going to ask a few questions and bring it right home, okay? And don't worry, this is not rocket science. This is so simple. Question. You answer the questions in your mind. Question number one. Does God command baptism? Answer. Yes. Question. Were the early church and the early Christians baptized? Answer. Yes. Question. What does that make them? Answer. Obedient to God. Question. What does that make a church or a Christian who doesn't do it? Answer. Disobedient to God. Question. What is disobedience to God according to 1 John 3:4? Answer. Sin. Question. What are you? Answer. Your conscience is telling you right now. The Holy Spirit is prompting your conscience right now. Now, when that happens, there are two things that you can do when your conscience convicts you. You can, according to 1 Timothy 4 verses 2 and 3, you can forbid those things which God commands, and you can sear your conscience as with a hot iron. You can harden your heart. You can make your neck as stiff as brass. You can resist and grieve the Spirit of God. Or you can obey God. Like it says in 1 Timothy 1:19, you can hold faith in a good conscience so that you don't make shipwreck of your life. See, it's important for us to know as believers how to relate to our conscience when God, the Holy Spirit, convicts. You see, it says in 1 Timothy 1:19, this is Paul writing to this young pastor, okay? He's exhorting him, holding faith in a good conscience, which some people, having put away, some people have rejected, they've put away their conscience speaking to them concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. Shipwreck. If you put away, if you reject a good conscience, Christian, your life is heading for shipwreck. That's what it says in that verse. You hold faith in a good conscience, which some, having put away a good conscience concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. He's talking to Christians. Shipwreck. And the Greek word means a broken ship that is shattered. The cargo cresting on the waves of the storm. Completely broken. And that's how your life will be if you put away your conscience when it speaks to you. Your good conscience is like a helmsman on a ship trying to steer you away from danger, Christian. But if you, as the captain of the ship, continue to ignore your conscience and you continually overrule the helmsman and you overrule his course, then you will hit the rocks and your life will be shipwreck. How many Christians do you know? And their lives are wrecked. They're strewn all over the ocean, as it were, because they put away a good conscience and persisted on a wrong course. That's why I exhort you to awake to a good conscience. Don't harden your heart. And if you are a disobedient Christian in the area of baptism, only I don't want to limit it to the area of baptism, in any other area, admit it to God. Ask forgiveness. There's pardon with God. And put it right. Have a conscience that is void of offense towards God and man. Let me conclude. Christian baptism. Why were they baptized in the Bible? They were baptized because it is a sign of initiation and unity to Christ and the local church. They were baptized because baptism is a silent witness to God's saving power. And they were baptized because they were obedient to God. Now that I have taught you on this much neglected ordinance, my conscience is clean, void of offense towards God and man. Because it says in Hebrews that those elders that rule have great responsibility. But now my conscience is clean on this area towards God and man. And the responsibility is directly on you. The ball is in your court. I grew up. I got saved when I was 17. I never heard of baptism. I never thought even about it until I was in Bible college and I saw it there. Why am I not baptized? I came home at Christmas and was baptized. But I have told you, the ball is in your court. Let me close with a quote from Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Here's what he says about his day of baptism many, many years ago. I can never forget the 3rd of May, 1850. I had some 8 miles to walk to reach the spot where I was to be immersed in the triune name according to the sacred command. The wind blew down the river with a cutting blast as my turn came to wade into the flood. But after I had walked a few steps and noted the people on the ferry boat and the boats on either shore, I felt as if heaven and earth and hell might gaze upon me, for I was not ashamed there and then to own myself as a follower of the Lamb. My timidity was washed away. It floated down the river into the sea, and it must have been devoured by the fish, for I have never felt anything of the kind since. Baptism loosed my tongue, and from that day it has never been quiet. I lost 1,000 fears in the River Lark, and I found that in keeping his commandments, there is a great reward. It was a thrice happy day to me, God be praised, for the preserving goodness which allows me to write of it with delight so long afterwards. You remember that day that you were baptized. Amen. Thank you for your attention.